Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful to be in His presence, but more importantly, to carry His presence? I mean, that's amazing that you and I, we get to come into His presence anytime we choose, because He's always there. But you carry the presence of the God of the heavens. Oh, my, my. That's why the devil hates you so much, because the presence of the Lord brings peace, it brings truth, changes everything. Amen? Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This service is kind of a preview to get you and I ready for this coming year. Amen? It's going to be here before we know it, right? And let me ask you this question. What's on our placard, on our sign, right out here, this little bulletin board? What does it say? What's the one word for 2020? Expansion. Why was the Lord able to expand so many things in and through your life, which is in and through this church? Because you were willing, right? You were willing. Because you were willing to decrease and let the Lord increase, expansion came. And so this coming year, as we're seeing so many people have, sadly, an influence from what they're seeing in the natural, they're calling for the decrease of the church rather than the increase. But you and I, we look at the book of Acts, and every time that there was persecution, every time there was an attack on the church, what happened? Expansion. The more persecution, the more trouble came, the greater the church grew. And that's what we're going to experience. That's what we're going to see, because it's going to start with us. Amen? Hallelujah. So hold that in your heart. And let's look here in Luke chapter 2 and get us a text. And, you know, right now, society is trying to push Jesus out of everything. Can you imagine if you got pushed out of your own birthday party? They want Christmas, but they don't want Christmas. Amen? And so, you know, we see Christ being pushed out of the school system, out of businesses. You know, they want all of the things attributed to it, but they don't want Jesus. And so we're going to be talking tonight about making room for Jesus, expansion. Amen? Luke chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. When you're there, say amen. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, or the house of bread, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Now notice verse number 7. Mark it down in your heart. Highlight it in your Bible, if you would, or your app. And she brought forth her firstborn son. I find that interesting. Her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, children, and minds.
Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Hallelujah. Glory. So let's just take a little bit of time here tonight, and let's just glean some stuff from our text. And then I want you to remember these three words as the Spirit of God would lead us. out of what's on my heart tonight, getting us ready for 2021. The Spirit of God is wanting us to be in line with Him with our motives. If we're aligned with Him in our motives, all things are possible, right? And then when we have our motives aligned with Him, it puts us in motion. We're, you know, it's not like a rocking chair. A rocking chair has a lot of motion, but it ain't going nowhere. Come on, you and I, we're going somewhere in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking bad about rocking chairs. I'm just saying a lot of motion, but it's not going anywhere. We're going somewhere in the name of the Lord. Amen. And then the means of our moving forward in the will of the Lord is His Word. His Word. We can't fail because, motive, motion, and means. Remember those three M's, and let's look at this. Now, I want you to be so encouraged tonight at where you're at, no matter what it looks like or what it feels like, because from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ died for you. Amen? He died for me. And God created you for His very own pleasure and placed you here with destiny. Amen? Destiny. So let's look at some things and see how God's Word is so perfect, and you're born again by that Word. You're being led and directed by that Word, and so it should empower us by the complexity of the Word of God and the assurance that it comes to pass. Now notice what it said there in verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now let's think about that just for a moment of time. This taxation was completely for the benefit of man. But God uses this to what? To get Joseph and Mary at Bethlehem. See, there can be things happen all around you that is man-made, that's even influenced by the devil. But that doesn't change who you are, who you serve, and that God can use all of those things that's happening around us for His glory. That brings me comfort, don't you? Can you say perfect timing? Woo! Tonight, you and I, we're serving a perfect God, and we're in His perfect timing. It's going to be well, amen? All is well. And so we can rest in that reality. Now notice, it says in verse number 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. So you and I tonight, we can take comfort that God knows where we're at right now. He knows where we were born. He knows where we were born again at. And it was all for a purpose. All for a purpose. 730-something years before this takes place, the Holy Spirit moves on the prophet Micah. You can look at it in Micah chapter 5. And you can see that he prophesies this very account. He tells about where Jesus is going to be born. Now, if God can move on Micah to prophesy that 730 years before the fact, and it happened just exactly the way God says it, guess what? Your 2021 is going to be lined up with the Word of God because you're born of the Word of God. You're serving a God who is mindful of you, and He has a destiny for your life. Amen? Amen. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what the world is saying. All that matters is that you're sitting with the Jesus that's on the throne of God in your own seat beside Him. Amen? Seated in heavenly places, being led and directed by the Spirit of God. So this should comfort us. Now notice what it said in verse number 4. And Joseph went up from Galilee. You know, this Galilee, every time you see it in the Word of God, just mark a note, make a little mental note. Galilee means heathen circle. And so anytime that you're coming into the favor and the plan and the will of God, you come up out of some things. You come out of doing things over and over, going round and round. I'm ready to go straight in the Lord, aren't you? And so he come up out of this, out of Galilee, and he goes out of the city of Nazareth into Judea into finally Bethlehem. Now this is an 80 to 90 mile journey, depending on which way you look at it on your map, your Bible maps. But it's at least 80 miles. And so it's a 3-day journey. Now you can imagine she's great with child, and they make this journey, but yet they get there at the right time. Come on now, she See, the world wants to tell you that you're going to prematurely, you're going to be out of season and out of step with the Lord. No, your steps, my steps are ordered by the Lord. Amen? We're going to be in the right place at the right time. And every day when you get up, you need to thank God and say, God, I thank you that you're directing my steps. I thank you that I have divine favor. And I will be, by your grace, in the right place at the right time. Now think about this. Right to the Spirit of God moving on Mary and causing her to be with child, all of these steps are, you break them down into nanoseconds, and God has her at the right place. He has Joseph at the right place. Now, this is amazing. So tonight, you have nothing to fear. Yes, 2020 has been a different year than we've ever experienced. And there's been some rough patches and there have been some hard times. But those situations and circumstances has enabled us to see God work. And it's caused us to get closer to Him. All is well. Amen. All is well. And so if God can get them in the right place right when she needs to give birth to fulfill words that were spoken 730-something years before, He can put you where you need to be in 2021. Amen? So we got to do what? We got to make sure that we make room for Jesus. You say, well, now that offends me. Pastor, I'm already saved and born again. Yes, hallelujah, praise God, you're saved and born again. I'm saved and born again. But guess what? Every time we hear the Word of God, it prunes us, it purges us. Out of the mouth of Jesus, John 15, verse 3. And as that pruning and purging takes place, guess what? We make room. We're able to hold more of Jesus and less of self, less of the lies of the enemy, less of the workings of this world. And so we're able to be enveloped by Him to be able to accomplish what He would have us to do. Amen? Okay. Now, I want you to notice there, verse number 7. It says, and she brought forth her firstborn son. And I could get onto a lot of things, but we better stay focused. You pray for me. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I want you to think about this. You and I, we have the opportunity in every situation of our life to make room for Jesus where the world, it will not. And now, I want you to understand where it says make room. This word make room, it means spot. It means location. It means condition. Now, let that sink in by the Spirit of God just for a minute. God looked at this manger, and this manger was in a better condition to receive His Son than the inn. Tonight, you see how highly privileged you are? God looked at your heart. By the blood of Jesus, your life has been washed, been forever changed, and the condition of your heart is a better place for Jesus than any place else. Come on, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Savior of the world, says the condition of your heart, by Him being there, it's what it's meant to be. Amen? That's what's happened in 2020. That's what's going to grow, and that's what's going to expand in 2021. Now, you remember Elisha? Elisha in the Old Testament, he would keep coming past the house of the Shunammite woman. And as he kept coming by, she looked at him in Gehazi, and she had a place in her heart, and she told her husband, said, let's make a little chamber. Let's make room for the prophet, right? And so they made room for the prophet, and all of a sudden, the prophet had a word for her, and the word was, you're going to have a son. And then when the son has a heat stroke or whatever you wish to call it, when he dies, guess what? He gets raised up again. So there may be some things that look like they've died in your life, but because you've made room for Jesus, that promise that you first encountered, it's not dead. Because none of the things of God dies, amen? He's ready to raise them up in your life, in my life, because you're willing to make room. Now, so what we've got to make a decision is, Lord, if you'll speak to me, if you'll show me some things, because in order to take some things in, I've got to move some things out. So tonight, by the Spirit of the living God, I give God permission by His Holy Spirit to run me through His great big sensor and show me some things. Do a scan on me and some things that that I'm ready to turn to Him, and He's ready to help me turn to Him in. I want them moved out, and I want Jesus in. Amen? And if we'll make that commitment, guess what? It's going to change 2021 like we've never seen before. I believe that, don't you? All right, now let's look at some things. I think it'll help us so much. Go with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And let's see what Jesus says. We've got to check our motives. We've got to make sure. And your motive is pure. I know that because you love the Lord and you want to you love people. You want to help people. But I want to contrast some things here to get you in a place and a position to be able to receive more. Amen? Because the devil doesn't want you to receive more. And so we're going to do some contrasting here. Now notice what he says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. Matthew 8, 18. Now when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Now think about what's happened. He's healed the leper. He's healed the centurion's servant. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law. He's healed everyone at the door. Delivered them from demons and all of these things. So there's a great multitude here. There's great possibility. And so now he makes this statement. You've seen what I can do, what I desire to do, what I want to do. Let's go to the other side. Let's start living on the other side of Jordan. Let's live on the promises that's there. And let's grab a hold of some things. And so it says in the verse number 19, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now we know that Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, operated in the gifts of the Spirit. So he's looking at this certain scribe, and no doubt the discerning of spirits is working in his life. And look what Jesus says in the next verse, verse number 20. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So with Jesus making this statement, what does this tell us about the certain scribe? The scribe, he motives ain't exactly pure, right? He's not counting the cost. He's not, like Brother Corey said, he's not looking at what Jesus is saying. When you go to the other side, you've got to leave what's on that side and embrace everything that's on the other side. Amen? And so he's telling him, hey, when you go where I'm going, the things that you used to trust in and used to hold on to, they're not going to be there. But I've got something even better. I've got something greater. I've got something stronger. And so he goes on and he deals with some other disciples here about following. We won't take time to look at that. But I just wanted you to concentrate on what Jesus said about the fox have holes and the birds have air. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. Let's make sure that Jesus can rest in our life. I want him to be able to rest in my life, don't you? And I know that you do too. And so it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. So let's look at it. Let's look at this. Mark chapter 10. Since you're willing to let Jesus rest in your life, and you are, then you're in a perfect place to be able to receive some things. Now, we won't take time to look at this. You look at it in your home study time because you've heard it preached and you've heard it taught. But Jesus starts here in Mark chapter 10 dealing with the rich young ruler. You can pick that up starting about verse 17. And the rich young ruler, he's telling Jesus, hey, I've done everything that you've ever said to do. What does that tell us? That's deception. Because I don't know about you, I don't know anybody other than Jesus that done everything that God wanted to be done, right? So his motive was, hey, look at me. Look at me. This is how good I am. This is what I do. So that's his motive. And so Jesus makes this revelation to him. He said, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you shall have what? You shall have riches untold. You shall have all of these things, because what he was doing, he was trusting in what he had in his hand rather than the one who was wanting to hold his hand. Glory. That's a powerful statement now. We're trusting in the one who's holding our hand. Amen? All right, so that gets us into a place of what's happening, because the disciples, they can understand it. You know, they're just, Jesus makes this statement. He said, in verse 24, and the disciples were astonished at the words of Jesus, because he's talking about how the rich can enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter in the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Because they trust in who they are, what they've got, and all of these things. So he's making this statement. Now notice this. Jesus said that with men it's impossible, but not for God. I'm trying to condense this, but get to the point here of the motive. So we see the motive of the certain scribe that we looked at, and now we're seeing the motive of the rich young ruler. But look here at what Peter says, because this is, say, I'm like Peter. Verse 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, and if you'll look in Matthew 19, you get more of the words of Peter. But then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. That's what you've done. You've left your old life, and you're following Jesus, right? So that means that you qualify to be able to what? To receive more. Your motive is correct. Your motive is right. And look what Jesus said. Verse 29. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man, no woman, no boy, no girl that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Notice what he says, verse 30. But they shall receive a hundredfold. Oh, great. I can't wait to heaven. Can you? But that's the way people teach it, ain't they? That's the way they talk about it. Oh, when I get to heaven. Thank God for heaven. You're not going to need the things that you need here on earth in heaven. You're going to have a glorified body, and you're not even going to need the sun, because the Lamb is the light. Amen? So what do you need here? You need to be in the place to receive, the place of expectancy, because your motive is right. You've got to hear what Jesus said and be in the place to see, because I've gave up some things and I've put God first. I'm in the place and the position to do more. Say more. God wants you to know that you can do more. Come on, more with Him than you've ever dreamed of. But he or she shall receive, verse 30, an hundredfold now. Say now. A hundredfold. Now, hold that in your heart, this hundredfold. Now, you shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses, brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Hallelujah. Thank God for eternal life. But right now, I want to see some people saved, don't you? I want to gain some brothers and some sisters. I want to see the hand of God. And yes, there's going to be some persecutions and all of these things. But he said I could receive a hundredfold now. So everything that I'm willing to empty out and make room for Jesus, the Word of God will come into my life and it will produce a hundredfold. Think about what you've done this year. Now, as we talk about what we've done, we know that it was Jesus doing it through us. We knew that He gave us the desire, first of all, because if we didn't have the desire, it wouldn't matter. But then after He gave us the desire, He gave us the seed. And then He gave us the opportunity to be able to what? To sow the seed. And so it's there. All of those things are there, and it's all because of Him, and it's all for His glory and for Him to be magnified out into this community and all of those things, and we praise God for it. But He doesn't want us to rest on what we've done in 2020. He wants that just to be a seed for 2021. He wants us to make room. He wants us to expand even more. He wants us to be in the place and the position where the things that seem impossible, because what did He say up there in verse 27? With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God some things are... All things are possible. So you and I, say divine connections. The Holy Spirit is going to set up some connections. He's already set them up in 2020 to build our faith and to cause us to be expecting. But you and I are going to meet the right person at the right time. We're going to come in line with those who will be able to supply what God wants to do in your life, through your life, in this community. Amen?
Amen.
There is no doubt about it. It is going to happen, and you and I are going to sit back. We're going to enjoy the ride. We're going to be in awe of Jesus Christ. But we're going to see what? We're going to see brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers. We're going to see people added to the kingdom of God, and it's all going to be because you are willing to make room. You're going to say, Lord, I'm going to give you time. I'm going to give you whatever you asked of me. And as I give that to you, you're going to make the impossible possible. Oh, we're in a place of expectancy. We're in a place of excitement. We're in a place of end. Come on, all of these things is coming together to bring the end of all things for the glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I believe it, don't you? Amen. I wish I knew where I was going. Okay. So, Luke chapter 4. Look here, this is the negative side of this. The people who won't make room because they don't have the right motive. And we're covering this because I want you to know that somewhere down in your heart, in my heart, we might have a little issue that we're not aware of. And that issue will keep us from being able to be filled, to be able to make room with what Jesus would say to us and through us. Amen? Okay. So, Jesus, he's teaching them, and they don't like what he's saying. And so we won't cover that. We'll just pick up where they don't like it. Luke 4:28. And all they in the synagogue. Where? In the church house. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with. Now, if you're filled with something, there's no. So we got to ask ourselves tonight, word or wrath? Do I want the word of Jesus or do I want my own wrath? And it may not be wrath. It may be something else. You fill in the blank by the Spirit of God, whatever he would show you tonight. I know I've got some worries, okay? Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. I don't have wrath that I know of. I ask for the Lord's truth and honesty, but I do have some worries. You see, I wouldn't make that confession. I'm confessing it and giving it to Jesus. Amen? So I want him to take my worries as I give him to him. He won't just pull them out of my life, but as I give them to him, he will take them, and I want his word to replace the worries. Amen? Oh, come on, you feel the anointing on that? That's liberty. That's victory. That's freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen? All right, now notice what happened. They were filled with wrath, verse 29, and rose up and thrust him, they thrust Jesus out of the city. No room. They thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, and that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. You ever been in a service and the Spirit of God's moving? And you feel the Spirit, and he comes by you, but for whatever reason, you don't receive him. Now, you may not have had that issue I have. I wasn't in the place to receive what he wanted, and so he moved right by and just kept going. There was no room there. Don't look at me like that. Come on, we're being honest with each other. I'm just telling you the truth. We got to be in the place and the position. And so here, they have no room. They're filled with their own words, their own will, their own working, rather than the word of Jesus. So tonight, you and I, we can say, Holy Spirit, I thank you that through revelation and unction, I can hear thus saith the Lord. And if there's anything that doesn't come in agreement with thus saith the Lord, I'm going to cast it out. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to make room for you to come into my life like never before. Amen. That's power. That's victory. Amen. Okay. Now, let's go to the Old Testament. Let's look at something. In Isaiah chapter 54, let's look at our emotion. Our emotion is we need to always be moving to increase. Right now, we're all I'm hearing is I hear different pastors and different people talk, well, we're going to have to decrease this. We're going to have to decrease that. We're going to have to cut this. We're going to have to save here and save there. I recognize we've got to use common sense and all of those things, but I don't see God on the throne nervous about the economy. I don't see God on the throne wondering how we're going to be able to, if he can take five loaves and two fishes and feed 5,000 men, I don't think we've got an issue, do you? So let's see what the word says. Isaiah 54 verse 1 to get the context. Sing, O barren, that or thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. You and I, we're coming into the time where the devil says that you're not going to have productivity, that you're not going to have offspring and produce. He's a liar. Paul quoted this. You look in the book of Galatians chapter 4, and Paul quotes this very the whole chapter, but verse 27, he directly quotes this, and he tells us that you and I, we are like Isaac. We're children of the promise. And Isaac had to deal with Ishmael. Pinch yourself. Ishmael is the flesh. And so you're not of the flesh, you're of the promise. Amen? And so the things that look like they're barren in your life, you're going to be moving, you're going to have motion toward productivity because you're going to hear the word of God. Amen? Verse 2. This is the command of the Lord to you and I. And this is what we're going to do in 2021. He said, enlarge. I like it, don't you? Expand. We're not going smaller, we're getting bigger, amen? You say, boy, it don't look like it. If you look at the numbers, this is not about numbers. This is about the will of God, amen? This is about touching people's lives. This is about not getting them to the church house, but getting them to Jesus. People are going to die and go to hell in the church house. It's not about the church house. It's about having a relationship with God the Father by the Spirit through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our role, our job. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Now mark that down. Look at these three things. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Verse 3. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Come on, this is a prophetic word that is to the church. Amen? This is a prophetic word to the church of the Most High God. He's wanting to what? Expansion. He's wanting things to get bigger and bigger on your left hand and on your right hand. Now, your right hand is the hand of power. Your left hand is the more of your gifting, of your abilities. But so God is wanting to use what is placed in you in your natural abilities, but then he's wanting to supernaturally put the power of the Spirit of God to come out. And as you come together with your own abilities that God's gave you under the power and the anointing of God, it makes the impossible possible. Amen? Amen? For thou shalt break forth. Now, when he says thou shalt, you're going to do it. Yes. Amen? Yes. Because you're willing. You're willing, amen? You have a desire. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles to make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Come on. The motion is we've got to be moving toward the lost. That's what he's talking about. Moving toward the lost. If we're not careful, we spend so much time patting each other that we have no time, we have no resources to go out to somebody else. Now, what we've got to do is say, Lord, you know I'm hurting, you know I've got some issues and situations, but I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to look to you first. I'm going to be used by you first, and I'm going to touch somebody else. And as I do that, I know that the thing that I needed to pray about, it just takes care of itself, and I don't even have to pray about it. That you can testify to that, can't you, Brother Donnie? That's the goodness of God, amen? And so we got to help each other. We've all got people within our sphere that are at different levels. And they're at different stages of growth. And so we never push anybody to a place of problem. We guide them to a place of growth. Come on, we don't push them to a place of problem, but we guide them to a place of growth. And so we've got to be in this place where we say, okay, I'm moving you to where you're seeing things expand. You're seeing possibilities. When God said this shall happen, we come in agreement with Him. And when it looks contrary to that, we laugh at it and say, Lord, I know what you said, and I don't care what the picture is. I'm going to let your word be the image that changes the picture. Amen? I'm going to let your word be the thing that can create the very destiny of it. Now notice what he said. Back to verse 2. He said, enlarge the place of thy tent. Now this is the Hebrew equivalent of that word topos in the New Testament, where it said there was no room in the inn. And so once again, it's talking about a spot, a place, but it's talking about a condition. So if I'm going to burst out on the left hand and the right hand, and if I'm going to enlarge the place of my tent, I've got to look at the condition. And so this here is not just me or not just you. This is the condition. This is the body of Christ. And so I say, Lord, you told me to be there for my brother and my sister. My brother and my sister are supposed to be there for me. What's the condition? How can I encourage them where they can see who they really are? Now, we're not talking about babying. We're talking about guiding to growth. Amen? And so all of a sudden, we're in a place and a position where we say, Lord, I can look at my brother and my sister in my prayer time. And as I look at them, I can yield to you, Holy Spirit, and I can pray the prayer that will cause them to make the right step in the right time, and they're going to grow. Oh, glory. This is how we work together. And this is how we see the ability to reach, to go outside the church then, and to reach, as he said, he would give us a seed and inheritance of the Gentiles of the lost. That's how it all comes to pass, because they see you're unique in your own way. They see I'm unique in my own way, and we have differences, but yet we blend together for the glory of God. The common denominator is Jesus, and it makes all the motion back toward Him. Aren't you glad? It's not pointed at one person or one denomination or one church. It's pointed back to the answer, the one who holds everything in His hands. All right, so when we put this to practice, we see all of these things start happening, start taking place. And so we see that we've got the right motive, we've got the means, which is this word. And let's look at that. Let's make sure we go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. The word Jesus is what makes the impossible possible, right? Okay, look at Luke 8 and 1. And it says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing. Mark that down. Preaching and showing glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. They had made room for Jesus, and Jesus made room for them. So, you and I have got to see ourselves as a part of this 12, a part of this number 12 in Bible numerics means governmental perfection in the perfected law and order of the Word of God. By His grace, we're saved, our faith in that. And so Jesus is the one that's really doing the preaching. We're just along for the ride. We're going with him, and he, everywhere he goes, he brings glad tidings. You need to see yourself. I'm going with Jesus. This isn't about me. This is about the one that I'm born again by. This is by the one that I am the temple of the Spirit of God, His Spirit, and wherever I go. There's an opportunity for the word to go forth. That's Jesus, out of your life, out of my life. And that word will always bring glad tidings. Amen? All right, now stay with me. Drop down to the verse 11. Luke 8 and 11. Because we won't cover the parable, because you know the parable. But now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Remember, Jesus went forth, the sower went forth to sow. And the seed that he sowed, he just tells us here, is the word of God. All right, so when I'm following Jesus, and when I'm a part of that 12, that governmental perfection, when I'm letting his word come through my life, and I'm letting it bring glad tidings, it's not about what I know or don't know, it's about his word. That's it. His word. His word is in your heart. His word is being brought to you by the Spirit of the living God. All right. See, the reason why Jesus is doing the things the way he's doing it, like this morning, when and he's been doing this quite often, just changing the whole direction of the service, he is building our faith that what you and I do inside these walls, we can expect to do it outside. It's not about one person, it's about the whole body. You have the ability, I have the ability to open our mouth, and God will fill it. And as he fills it, it's going to bring glad tidings. It's going to change things, okay? Now, stay with me just for a second. Drop down to let me read verse 8 first. Let read verse 8. Luke 8:8, because there was a reason for it. And talking about the word, and other fell on good ground. Say good ground. And sprang up and bare fruit, how much? 100-fold. I told you to remember 100-fold, right? Where's the fruit coming from? The good ground, say me. 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him or her hear." Say, I hear. You hear that. That what? That you are destined to make room for Jesus because you're taking in the Word of God. That Word is going to expand in your life, through your life, and it's going to produce what God wants out of your life. Yes. You're productive. Yes. The devil's a liar. Yes. Jesus always tells the truth. You are productive. Now, notice what it says. Look at verse 15. Luke 8 and 15. I'm going to let you go in just a second. But that on the good ground are they. So the good ground is not ground, it's you and I. Right? Okay. But they that are on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Better translated from the Greek, cheerfulness. You can be joyful because you know that the Word is going to do the work. So the devil wants to keep telling you, well, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. No, I just let the Word work in my life. I hold the Word in my heart. And the Word, it will change. It'll renew my mind. And it'll bring my body under subjection. And it'll give me liberty to do what God would have me to do. So a good heart brings forth 100-fold. Now, as soon as we say that, the devil starts flying around as a fowl of the air, according to Mark chapter 4, wants to steal that word out of our heart. How does he steal that word out of our heart? He immediately will remind you of something you said or done and say, you don't have a good heart. But remember, as we said this morning, he is not only a liar, but the father of lies, John 8:44. And so I've got to take God at his word. So let's close with these verses to loose your faith. Ezekiel chapter 36. This is what God promised to you and I. We'll try to condense it here. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. He says, "For I will take you from among the heathen." God called you out. God called you out. He called you by name, and He led you by His Spirit into a relationship with Him. "And I will gather you out of all countries." Now, I know this is talking about what He's going to do to the Jewish nation in the time of the end, but it's a parallel of what He's done for the church. Amen? He said, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you." Ephesians 5:26, you're washed by the water of the Word. "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Now notice this, verse 26. "A new heart." Say, "I got a new heart." "A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." A heart that can receive the things of God. Amen? Verse 27. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments, you shall keep my word and do them." So Jesus said if you had a good heart, you'd produce 100-fold. God said, "I gave you a new heart." Would God give you a bad heart? He'd give you a good heart, won't He? Because He's a good God, and He can only give good things. Nahum 1, down to maybe about verse number 7, "The Lord, He is a good God, and He only has good things to give you and I." So He has gave us a new heart. He has put inside of that heart His very own Spirit. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit, when He has come, that He shall lead you and I into all truth. Amen? So the truth is that Jesus said if you'll hold on to the Word of God with patience, with cheerfulness, in other words, if you have that expectancy, you're going to produce 100-fold. I'm going to make room, aren't you? I'm going to make room for Jesus. I don't want any of this worry. I don't want any of this wrath. I don't want any of this worldliness. I want the Word. I want the Word. And so, in the name of Jesus, I make that commitment. And if I make that commitment to Him, guess what? He's going to put His Word in my life. You and I got to recognize, in closing, that there's a lot of counterfeits. There's a lot of things that look a certain way. You know, I was thinking about... we was fixing something to eat, and I thought, you know, there ain't no way this crud is food. If it can sit on the shelf a year and not have to be refrigerated, it's not anything in a can, it's just in a plastic. Come on, this thing can't be food. Come on, don't get quiet on me. There's a lot of things that look like they're something and they're not. But anyway, you can talk to any scientist, biologist, and they'll tell you they can take a corn seed, and they can take the hydrogen and the nitrogen and the carbon and all of these things, and they can make a corn seed. It looks just like an original corn seed. But you take the original corn seed and you drop it in the ground, and what happens? There's life in it. It's called life principle. But you drop that one that scientists made, and it just absorbs and becomes a part of the area that it was planted in, a part of the soil. See, it's a counterfeit. So you and I, we've got to make sure that we hear what God is saying to us, and we recognize where we're at in this season. Now listen, by the Spirit of the living God, if you've got a year, if you've got one season, you plant some kind of grain. Now listen, don't listen to me. You listen to what the Spirit of God would say to you, because this is about your future. This is about your destiny. This is about what God's going to do in you and through you. Know where you're at. Know what you can do. If you've got a year, you plant something that's quick growing. If you've got 10 years, you plant a tree. If you've got a lifetime, you're looking to plant people. If you got a lifetime. Come on, your life is not your own. Your life is of Jesus. Amen. You've got a lifetime that's from the beginning to the end, and there's no beginning and end in God. Amen. So by the Word of God, you can live from the eternity, and you can plant the Word of God in your seasons of life, and you can be productive no matter where you're at. There is no season in your life that's not productive. Amen? So, by the grace of the living God, let's just allow the Spirit of God just to open up our heart and to take us to a place where we can make room for Jesus like never before. And if we receive that new word tonight, we can expect a hundredfold harvest that not only will just impact us, each other, but it will impact our world. Amen? Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we are very honored. That's the best word I can say. We are honored that you would come and dwell among us. That you would give us your very own spirit in a brand new heart. We asked you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you would just examine us, put us in the Holy Spirit MRI of life, and show us every area that there may be some world, some worry, some wrath, some false worship. And take all of those things out as we give them to you, as you bring revelation and unction about them, and replace that with the Word. Your Word, Lord, where we can produce a hundredfold for your glory. Lord, let us be inspired for this coming year. Don't let us turn off all the words of the world, all the negative things. Let us tune and turn those things out, and let us just continually make more and more room for you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Would you come and make yourself an altar, either at your chair or up here at the altar, whatever you feel comfortable doing, and just spend some time with the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. And I ask that you just prune and purge me and bring truth into my heart like never before. You are fruitful. You are a productive group of people because Jesus said so. He said that he was the vine and you was the branches. And if you would abide in him, you would bear much fruit. That's who you are. Hallelujah. Let him speak to your heart tonight and change any and every circumstance that's not in line with the Word. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Father.